You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
So today, fourth Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of our Advent series, Home for the Holidays, in which we've been looking at how each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how each of them portray the birth of Jesus. And we've been kind of playing with the idea, thinking about what Christmas would look like at the homes of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today, our focus is on Luke. And Luke has the most text, the longest narrative about the birth of Jesus of any of the four Gospels. And it's probably the most well-known, maybe the most popular of the four. There's a lot in there that is very very familiar and well-loved. For Luke, you've already heard the Song of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's known as the Magnificat, in which she praises God for acting with strength and mercy, especially for those who were too often forgotten or ignored. Well, our second reading for today is another song after the Song of Mary. It's the Song of Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. Zechariah's song is less familiar than Mary's song, but I'd argue that it's equally powerful and inspirational. The first half of the song is sort of a praise of God, and the second half, Zechariah sings directly to his son, singing in a sense about Jesus. Listen now for God's word. From Luke chapter 1. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Well, it's almost Christmas, and it's time to go to Luke's house. Over the last few weeks, we've gotten to go to three other Christmas parties, and they've all been a little different, depending on whose house we attended. At Mark's house, we met John the Baptist with his interesting clothes and his curious diet. He was talking about repentance and preparation. Not exactly the message maybe we were expecting or wanting, but it was good news, he said, good news about a coming kingdom of God. There was no baby at Mark's house, but there was the sense that something good was coming. It was quiet, it was peaceful, not a lot of decorations, not a lot of noise. John the Baptist and sense of good news. At Matthew's house, we met Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph, young couple, engaged to be married. They just found out they were pregnant. We learned how Joseph dealt with the situation with a great deal of righteousness. We learned that this baby was to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. We also learned that King Herod was nearby, and King Herod was not so happy about this baby, feeling threatened by this baby. So maybe King Herod wasn't invited to the party at Matthew's house. But the Magi came, bringing gifts. Bringing gifts in anticipation of this new kingdom, this new reality. Then last Sunday, we went to John's house. John's house is probably the place where the poets and the mystics and those sorts of people like to hang out. Because again, there's no baby at John's house, at the party, Christmas party at John's house. But there is this wonderful language about how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. There's this imagery of the light shining in the darkness and the darkness not overcoming it. So there's probably a lot of candles at John's house where they celebrate. And if we stick around long enough at John's house, we'll learn that Jesus was to be called the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, and the Light of the World. So it's been a fun 3 weeks. But now here we are at Luke's house. What are we going to expect at Luke's house? It's time to go to the party. Well, for one thing, we can expect music. You've already heard a couple of the songs, the Song of Mary, the Song of Zechariah. Luke apparently likes music, and there's a lot of good music, and there's one more song to come, probably the best-known song of all, the Song of the Angels. You'll hear about that a little bit later. Then there's also at Luke's house, there's a lot of people. You've already met Mary and Joseph. You've heard about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And pretty soon you're going to meet the shepherds who come in tending their flocks by night. You'll also hear about Emperor Augustus and Governor Quirinius. I'm not sure they would be invited to the party either. I'm not sure they'd want to go to the party either because they also felt like Jesus was a threat to them, a rival to them. So there's lots of people at the party, or there's lots of people around the party. In addition to the people and the music at Luke's house, there's going to be a lot of food. You might remember last Lenten season, we spent 5 weeks talking about how much Luke portrays Jesus eating food, sharing meals with people. He tells a story about a father who has a big feast when the wayward son comes home. He tells about two disciples after the resurrection who share a meal with the resurrected Jesus. He tells all the time about how Jesus makes a point of having meals with people who are outcasts and forgotten, eating with sinners and other supposedly disreputable people. So you got to imagine the Christmas party at Luke's house is going to have a lot of food. Food, people, and music. Sort of party everybody's going to like, right? Well, I can think of one person who's not going to like it. The Grinch, at least the pre-transformation Grinch. He didn't like all the noise. He didn't like all the people. I wore my Grinch tie today in honor of him, but thank goodness there's hope. Even somebody like Grinch can change, and Grinch would probably, by the end of the story, be invited and have a great time at Luke's house. Now, this idealized vision of what Christmas might be all about with music and people, food, it's wonderful. And I hope everyone here at one point or another has experienced that in someone's home, a time of joyful Christmas with lots of music, with lots of food, with lots of people, and lots of good, hearty conversation and good memories. It's a wonderful thing, and we lift that up as the ideal Christmas for everybody. So I hope you've experienced that. But odds are pretty good that we don't experience that every single year. It doesn't always happen that way. The sad reality is that many people are hurting this time of year for a variety of reasons. Some of us have families with excessive amounts of troubles and problems and stress. Every family has some. Some families have a lot, making the holidays, making coming home a really challenging situation. Some families, some homes are dealing with grief or sad news from the doctor this year. And some families, some people are just plain lonely. Did you hear about the woman in Oklahoma who posted an ad on Craigslist She was so lonely, so desperate, she posted this ad saying, I have nobody. I'd like to be part of a family. I can cook dinner. I'll bring food and gifts for the kids. I have nobody, and it really hurts. There are people like that out there. So this woman puts this out on the internet, tender and sad kind of thing. Well, sadly, in our day and age of the things people do on the internet, she got all sorts of hateful responses and had to take down the post. But fortunately, one young man, by the name of Carson, I believe his name is, he did a screenshot of that post and put it on Facebook with a hashtag finding grandma. And he tried through his connections to find grandma. And by this point, the woman who posted that was kind of reserved and scared of the internet. So she was kind of, we haven't heard much from her, but apparently Carson and this woman have connected and are gonna do something together at Christmas time. It was particularly poignant for Carson, young man who lost his mother this past year and realized that his home was gonna be a little sadder this year. So he wanted to be with somebody and share some Christmas love. I thought that was a beautiful and touching way to respond to the situation. In one way or another, I think we're all looking for something. We're all looking for some sense of love and peace and connection and wanting to be together in some ways, especially at Christmas. So I read a new book this month. Actually, I read the first book in the series, The Little House in the Big Woods, set in Wisconsin, which I didn't know. And I read this book because I read about the series in a delightful book by Diana Butler Bass, theologian, pastor, wonderful person. This book is called Grounded, Finding God in the World. And she's got a chapter in the book just called Home. And in that chapter on home, she talks about how she loved reading Laura Ingalls Wilder's stories, Little House on the Prairie, growing up, and how it seemed like the family was always moving, but always made home a reality. I put the quote in your bulletin, it's small words on the screen, but she writes, Diana Butler Bass writes about how home happened in many different ways with Laura Ingalls Wilder's world, constantly changing reality, some familiar treasures, appreciation of place, close relationships. Home meant working together with new neighbors, unexpected guests, providing shelter for others on a journey. Home was as much a disposition, a mindset, as it was a building, the place of ultimate hospitality where everyone was accepted. So I enjoyed reading that first book of Little House on the Prairie and got a sense of that, that welcome. And I love the way she writes about new neighbors and unexpected guests and the sense of welcome. I think that's what home is all about. And that sense of openness captures exactly what the third song at Luke's house is all about. In Luke chapter 2, the angels sing, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. Luke makes it abundantly clear throughout the gospel from this point onward that God's good news is for everyone. We see it in the next chapter, chapter 3, where there's a genealogy. Those of you who've studied the Bible, some know there are different genealogies. Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, not just to Abraham and Sarah, but all the way back to Adam and Eve, suggesting that God's presence, God's love is for everyone in creation. So at Luke's house, we get the sense that everyone is welcome. The Samaritans, the sick people, the poor people, the rich people, the local people, the faraway people, people of diverse backgrounds. I get the sense that Luke would welcome the people who like the white lights and people who like the colored lights on the Christmas tree. That he would welcome the Vikings fans, the Packers fans, and even the people who don't give a hoot about football whatsoever. I get the sense that Luke would even welcome the people who thought impeachment is a sham and the people who thought impeachment was long overdue. And I think Luke's Jesus would welcome the people who made the effort to come to church on the fourth Sunday of Advent, and even the people who decided to stay home on the fourth Sunday of Advent. Luke is very clear in showing us a Jesus whose love is for everyone. Everyone. So Luke's house is going to be crowded. It's not going to be in the center of town, most likely. with all the political and religious and economic elites. It's probably off the beaten path somewhere. It's probably a little bit run down. It's probably not going to be on the cover of Better Homes and Gardens, Jerusalem edition. But that sort of thing isn't important to Luke. What is important to Luke, what is important to the Jesus who we read in Luke, is that the house, the home, is filled with people and music and good food and most especially love. So now it's our turn. Now it's our turn to bring the celebration with lots of food and lots of people and lots of music and most especially lots of love, to bring that celebration to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to our community, and to our world. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came into this world to bring good news of great joy to all the people. Help us to hear the message. Help us to make our homes as joyful as we can. Help us to comfort those who are sad this time of year. Help us to welcome the comfort of others if we are the ones who are sad. Help us to know that you are with us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.